Hey, thanks for tuning into the While You Walk podcast. This is the podcast you listen to while you walk. This is Matt Lovett reminding you that life is short. What can you do today to move your life forward? There might be some ideas in this podcast. Enjoy. All right, welcome to the While You Walk podcast. I'm here with Drew D'Orsi. We're going to do the talking, you're going to do the walking. Drew is a guy, he's a guy that lives in Denver. He's, what did we say? Drew, you were the number one voted fitness coach in Denver.
Yes, sir.
And I know Drew through a buddy who introduced us. We talked. Drew is like a mindset expert, reprogramming your subconscious mind. He is, I mean, knows every detail about the ingredients on food. That's what he's been hot on lately. He's had a long career. I'm sure he'll tell us more about it. He's actually a hypnotist. He's got hundreds of hours hypnotizing people. So that might be something fun we can dig into. Keep that in mind as you're talking with him. Sorry about that. Anything else on your intro, Drew?
Anything else on my intro? I'm a fun guy and I like to give love to people and have good, deep conversations.
Great. Great. Well, you know, if there are any ladies watching, I just want you to head over to Drew's Instagram. Drew, what's your Instagram handle?
It's my full name. It's at Drew D'Orsi.
Drew D'Orsi. So at Drew D'Orsi.
Yes, sir.
Now, what's interesting about Drew's Instagram page is that, you know, you see people online who are like ripped up and they've got muscles and all this. If you are looking at his Instagram, I want you to notice something. Drew is just as close to perfect, I think, as you can get with the ingredients of the foods he puts in his body. And more importantly, the stuff he doesn't put in his body. And if you look at his body, this is what a healthy person with pretty much zero inflammation looks like. So I just want to put that out there. If you want to check that out, that's what real health looks like when you're ripped up and there's no red, there's no puffy. It's just, I mean, it looks great. I mean, he really is beautiful. So congratulations on your beautiful body, Drew.
Thank you, brother. It's been a long journey and a long work in progress for sure. I mean, I'm 27 now. I've been lifting weights since I was 13 years old. So it's been a long time building this body.
Well, what got you into lifting weights, into training, into, you know, you're still pursuing it. You're still coaching.
Yeah. So, I mean, long story short, like I said, I started when I was about 13. Me and my best friend, we would take the school bus home to his house, go into his basement. His father had this beautiful workout set and we'd bench press, we'd squat, we would punch each other in the stomach as hard as we could because we thought that's how you got strong abs and a six pack. And we would do that every single day. And really the reason I got into it, honestly, is because I was a very insecure boy. I was smaller and skinnier and shorter than everybody. I was always the worst on the athletic team. And so that made me feel less than everybody around me. And I saw the famous celebrities and athletes who just looked incredible and they had all of the love, right? All of the support. And I thought to myself, well, all I got to do is look big and strong and then I'll finally be loved. So that's what got me into it initially. And then through the process of working on your body, you're constantly just pushing past your comfort zone, right? Physically and also mentally. And at some point, it just kind of clicked that this is so much of a deeper spiritual journey than a physical journey. All of this constant waking up early, training hard, trying to break your personal record. And that just kind of blossomed into what it is now. And it's much more of a deeper inner journey now.
Well, when did things turn from, all right, this is purely physical to get confidence, to get, you know, some of that social stuff. When did it turn into, all right, I'm going to get more more attention towards developing my mindset. When did that happen?
Yeah. Well, it was a very clear moment, honestly. And it happened when I was about like 19, 20. I was just getting bigger and stronger. People were giving me all the compliments. Women were telling me how they were constantly telling me how great I looked. And I still felt incredibly insecure and I still didn't feel good, right? Even though I was getting all the recognition that I wanted. And so, yeah, I was 19, 20, all of that was happening. Still very insecure, even though somebody on the outside would be like, wow, that dude looks like he's confident, right? And then I was playing Division I football, got kicked off of the team because I was just a cancer on the organization. I was very lazy. I was a bad mouth to the coaches, etc. And I got kicked off and I wound up sleeping on my brother's couch, nowhere to go, drinking every single night, getting high on whatever kind of pill I could find every single night. And one morning I woke up and I was like, man, I got to figure this shit out. Got kicked off of the football team, got kicked out of the college because my grades were terrible. I was like, wow, I need to figure this out. And I was like, well, maybe I should read a book. I had never read a book in my entire life up until that point. I was like 19 and I Googled books that will help motivate me because I just felt so down and just out. And the book that popped up was Think and Grow Rich. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you're familiar with that one. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. That's why my dad actually recommended that I read two books and that was the second one.
Yeah. Yeah. Wise man. So I read that book and that just, it was an earthquake, man. Everything in my life was flipped upside down, turned inside out. And that put me on the path towards the inner work because it was all about these affirmations. It was all about how you can really achieve whatever you put your mind to. And I had never thought about that. I was never guided that way in my entire life. And I'm the type of guy who, when I read some stuff like that, I immediately apply it into my life. And once I started to apply it into my life started to get better. I was like, wow, this stuff really works. So the thing that set it off was when I was like 19, 20 years old and got kicked off of the football team.
Wow. And I was looking at some of your coaching stuff. It might've been on your website, but you've got this triangle or not this triangle. This that's called a pyramid that makes a lot of sense. Could you please explain that?
So yeah, I call it the pyramid of body transformation. And I saw something very similar to it in a book I was reading a while back. I can't even remember what book it was. It's what happens when you read so much, right? You forget more than you remember. And the pyramid was the pyramid of, I forget what he named it, but the bottom of his pyramid was nutrition and then exercise. And then the top of the pyramid was supplements. And I looked at it, I was like, wow, that's really cool. But I think what would make it even better is below nutrition is to have the mindset aspect. And I thought of this because after spending years working with clients, giving them workout programs or nutrition plans to follow, if they don't believe in themselves, they're not going to follow it. Or if they're not committed to their goals, at some point they're going to sabotage themselves. So really the pyramid of body transformation is the mind is that strong foundation. You need some empowering beliefs. You need to be in this place where you're thinking empowering thoughts. And then right above the mind is nutrition and then exercise and then supplements. And really to kind of further explain the rest of the pyramid is when people want to transform their body or improve their health, the majority of people, right? The masses, the ones who are really on the lowest part of the totem pole when it comes to their consciousness level, they think to themselves, I just need to take some supplements, right? I see it in the magazines. I see it on the news. Just take this pill and everything is going to be great. So a lot of people, when they start their journey, they start there. And unfortunately, supplements are utterly useless unless you really have your nutrition, your exercise dialed in. So those people, they eventually fail. because they get frustrated and nothing ever changes. And then you got the smarter people and they think to themselves, well, if I want to transform my body, I just need to exercise. And if that's the only place they focus on, they're going to plateau very quickly. They're not going to get results very quickly. So it's going to frustrate them. And the reason they're not getting the results is because they really haven't dialed in that nutrition yet. So eventually they give up, right? And then the smarter people, they think to themselves, well, I just need to focus on nutrition. And those people see better results, right? They're able to sustain their results, move the needle for a while. But eventually, at some point, they sabotage themselves and they put themselves in a worse place off if they haven't really changed their beliefs at a much deeper level. So that's kind of a long-winded explanation to the pyramid of transformation.
Well, that's precisely what I was looking for.
And
once they get so, like, even down to this nutrition, you can even get a physical transformation that looks good and changes. But if you really want to be happy with the actual new body that you have, it's probably going to take some belief shifting.
Yeah, I'm glad you pointed that out because I did miss that part of the explanation. Yeah, you can see incredible changes by nutrition, exercise, and supplements. But the people who do that and don't focus on the mind, they have this dysmorphia, right? They look in the mirror and they hate what they see. They can't take compliments. They don't love themselves. So yes, I'm glad you pointed that out.
Now, when it comes to changing the mindset, you went and learned a very, very interesting tool that I think I might find myself studying at some point, which is hypnosis. What can you tell us about how it's useful in this realm? And are there any misconceptions about hypnosis that you could address? Or just, you know, whatever you want to say about it.
Yes. So I guess really the biggest misconceptions about hypnosis, I guess it's really, it's kind of twofold. A lot of people think it's mind control. It's not mind control. Nobody can force you to believe anything, right? And the second thing is people who are looking to really enhance their lives, they think hypnosis is the cure-all, right? They think if I just do some hypnosis, it's going to cure everything. When in fact, hypnosis is not the cure, but when you're in a state of hypnosis or when you're in this state where your analytical mind is shut off and you're tapped into your subconscious mind, the limitless part of your mind, you become aware of the cure. And the cure is within you. The cure is your own frequency. The cure is your own energy state. The cure is your own emotional well-being. So those are really the two biggest misconceptions. And yeah, the reason I got into it is because I've kind of been on this quest of like, how can I give more value to people? And it started off with writing programs for clients or writing nutrition plans for clients. And it wasn't sticking. It wasn't really getting them the results that they wanted. And I remember reading a book called The Three Magic Words. And inside of that book, they talk really deeply about how your subconscious mind is influencing 95% of your experience of this reality. And I was like, wow, that's crazy. We think we're in control. This mind that's thinking right now, the analytical part of my mind right now, the mind that I'm using to speak to you, I think I'm in control. But what's really in control is the 95% of the subconscious mind, the habits, the beliefs, right? And they also talk about how hypnosis can be used as a tool to really kind of, for lack of a better word, reprogram, rewire your subconscious mind. And once I read that, I'm like, wow, I want to be able to have that ability. Right. So yeah, I got accredited at the school, what is it called? HMI, Hypnosis Motivation Institute, the highest accredited school for hypnosis. So yeah, I really started to study that. And the reason it's so effective is because it shuts off the part of your mind when you're under a state of hypnosis. It shuts off the part of your mind that's always doubting yourself, that's always coming up with these reasons why something is not possible and why you're not good enough. It shuts that off. It's completely gone when you're in this state of hypnosis. And then you tap into this state that you may have never felt in your entire life, this state of limitlessness, of all pervasive power. And when you tap into that, you get more familiar with what it really feels like to show up the way that you want to show up. And the more frequently you do that, the more likely you are to show up in regular reality with this new state of limitlessness. Like, wow, I'm very capable of doing whatever I put my mind to.
And you see this with, you know, there's something about relaxing into the subconscious. And once you're there, it's like, now we've got access to something. And, you know, people can do this with intense psychedelics or with, you know, long periods of meditation and years of practice and all that. But you've got a way, this hypnosis in general is a way to get there guided quicker without taking what, you know, people would perceive the psychedelics and everything to be more risky.
Sure, sure. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, I remember the first time somebody put me in a hypnotic trance. I've never done psychedelics before, but I have spent 5+ years meditating on a very consistent basis. And the first time you put me in hypnosis, I was like, wow, that was like an instantaneous, very deep meditative state. And that's where hypnosis kind of puts you, is this meditative state where everything is just peaceful and calm and limitless.
Nice. And I think to reiterate something that you said, something that I've just learned through the psychedelics and through coaching, is that, you know, when you're trying to figure out how to get a person to take the next step forward, or what that next step is, or how they're going to do it, they've got the answer to that inside of them. And we got to get in there, and how can we help them access the information inside their soul, inside their subconscious? And this is, I think, something that every great coach eventually learns. Because the coach does not know what's best for you. We're just hanging out, giving you feedback, you know, being honest with you.
It's a mirror. Yeah, just trying to be a mirror for them. Because like you said, yeah, the answer is within you. And it's that analytical mind that's constantly telling you, no, I can't do that. No, I don't have the time for that. No, I'm too busy doing this. But the truth is, you can do it if you want to do it.
Yeah, it's deep in there. It's hard to figure out what's going on sometimes.
Yeah, especially with the world we live in, man. There's so many reasons to be distracted nowadays.
Well, let me distract you with something else here. So lately, you've been doing a lot of Instagram posts on food ingredients, food quality, and it's been useful because you'll just, here's 5 yogurts, and okay, guess, is this Drew approved, yes or no? And like, I guess wrong on a few of them. I was like, shit, I should know better than this. But if you're in a grocery store and you've got 2 yogurts that taste the same, let's say, that cost the same, why are you buying this one and not this one? One's better than the other. So there's food labels that we can learn from. There's details. So, you know, we can't get into all those details. But if I just had to ask you one general question about this, what are the most poisonous, energy draining, you know, just the things you see, the big chunk here that, like, you know, what can you say about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously it's different for everybody because we all respond to ingredients and food very differently. But generally speaking, the things that we want to avoid the most, and I'm sure everybody has heard this a jillion times, but people don't understand it, right? They think about it, they understand it, but they don't understand it. They don't live in alignment to this truth. And that is, we should be avoiding processed sugar at all costs. Wow. Because it's going to skyrocket your cortisol. And we all know how bad cortisol is for the body when it's constantly being pumped into the blood. So yeah, that's the thing that I am trying to encourage everybody to avoid. And it's difficult for a lot of people because it's an addiction, right? They say it's as addictive, sometimes even more so than heroin. It's crazy. Wow. It's crazy, but that's the same level of addiction it has at the biological level inside of your brain. So it's difficult to stop, but once you stop, you no longer crave it, man. So generally speaking, I think everybody needs to avoid that.
Nice.
Yeah.
I like that. And I hadn't considered the perspective of it wastes your cortisol. It kind of wastes your energy. It kind of, you know, it stresses you out, and you have to reduce the inflammation because it spikes it up so much.
Insulin levels go through the roof. And the moment your insulin levels are raised, everything you begin to consume, whether it's healthy or not, begins to be stored as body fat instantaneously. And which is why so many people who are struggling to lose weight, they're eating few calories, but they're eating so much processed sugar. So their insulin levels are high and they just immediately store everything that they're consuming as body fat. I mean, there's the most obvious correlation and connection between high insulin levels and fat. The higher your insulin levels are, the fatter you will be.
There you go. With that said, my next question is kind of relevant. Do you have a dessert recommendation? If someone's going to eat a dessert, is there anything that is Drew approved that they can look forward to?
No. Yes, of course. I think the most important thing is having a balance. You can add some natural sugars, whether that's derived from fruit or derived from some unfiltered raw honey that is still a real food, and it still has the antioxidants, it still has the vitamins, and still has the minerals that slows down the digestive process, which is not going to increase your cortisol levels nearly as fast as, say, regular cane sugar. So yeah, people can still make their favorite cookies and cakes and desserts, but use a different source of sweetener than cane sugar. And you can use the honey. You can use, what's another popular one? Monk fruit, stevia, etc. These are all great sweeteners that taste amazing, but they're not going to increase your cortisol or increase your insulin.
Perfect. Perfect. Fruit, guys. Raw.
And you can do that for every dessert.
I like it a lot. I'm definitely going to keep doing that. This is a high performance podcast, Drew, and in a couple areas, you're right up there. You know, you're beautiful, you're clean and healthy inside and out. Your mind is focused. Number one fitness trainer in Denver. With all that said, there's a couple high performance questions I'd like to run by you.
Shoot.
When you have trouble staying motivated, or you go through these natural slumps, life hits you and you feel unmotivated, what do you do to personally get going and stay motivated?
I think it's really twofold, man. The first thing that comes up for me whenever I'm asked that question or a question similar to that is a lot of people are asking me, like, how do I stay motivated? Like, what happens when I have the doubts and the fears and the worries and the lack of drive that comes up for me because I'm a human? And whenever those thoughts come up, to me, they're always proof that I'm on the right path. And the reason I wanted to point that out is because so many people, when they have these fearful thoughts, when they have these non-motivated thoughts, right? They think to themselves, oh man, that's proof as to why I'm not good enough. That's proof as to why I shouldn't be able to achieve my goals, etc. And that's a huge mistake to make, because I think it's proof that you are on the path. Otherwise, you wouldn't have these thoughts of, man, I'm not doing enough, right? If you have those thoughts, you should be thankful for those thoughts. So hopefully that makes sense. So that's how I process those thoughts. Me not wanting to get up early, or me wanting to watch an extra episode of The Office before I go do my due diligence and take action. My thought is like, okay, this is just a part of the process of me being my most successful self, and I'm going to enjoy this, right? So I wanted to point that out. And the second thing is just being patient with myself. Yeah, I think that's really the best way for me to answer it, man. Am I missing anything? Do you want any more?
I don't know. How can I spark you with this? You've got, all right, everyone's got goals. You've got something clear in your mind that you want to accomplish, and maybe you haven't gotten there yet. What's the thought process?
Yeah. The thought process is that I am there, and my imagination is there. Okay. And I realize that there is a delay in what I call the mirror of manifestation, right? You create this imaginative state in your mind of what I call my 2.0 self. I've already achieved amazing things in my mind's eye. And I realize there's going to be a delay period before I begin seeing some external transformations happening in my physical reality. So when the results don't show up on the scale like I want them to, or if the bank balance doesn't look like the way that I want it to, in my mind, I have already achieved my goals, and I don't really care what the external physical reality is trying to tell me, because I realize it's all an illusion. And what's real is my imagination.
Wow.
That's a deep way to answer it, right?
Yeah, you go.
So I just turn my head to what the physical reality is trying to tell me, because it's all an illusion, man. The only thing that's real is how I perceive it. And if I can change the way I perceive it, then I change the way I experience this reality. And that's how I take control of it.
When you have, these goals that you you like to get to these points, you see this 2.0, you see 3.0, Drew 3.0. And when you look at, all right, if I'm going to go from A to C or A to D, and you got to go through B and C, and you've got to organize this stuff into some grounded, tangible stuff, from taking notes to organizing your schedule, grounded thing. Do you have any strategies or things that you do there to keep things going so that things stay on track?
Some more note taking, some more practical steps. That's what it sounds like you're looking for.
Yeah.
And honestly, I would answer that question by saying, like, no, man. just to be clear, like, my only intention is, okay, I'm at point A. I've identified what point B is, right? My goal, my achievement.
Yeah.
And I ask myself, well, why do I want this, right? What is this going to do for me? And the reason I want it is because it's going to give me more confidence, more joy, more passion, more present. And that's why I want it. So all I think to myself is, okay, all I need to do is tap into that emotional state that I associate with the achievement of this goal. Mm-hmm. And then from there, just let go, man. And just let the intuition pull me. That's all I need to do. Everything else will take care of itself. That's how I approach it.
I find this interesting I've been looking at there's these different personality types in Ayurvedic medicine. They call them doshas, and sometimes I work with people who are similar to you in the sense that they're very in tune with their feelings, they're very in tune with their emotions, and this is the level that they're kind of always operating on.
Yeah.
And that's not how I function, because I'm wired differently.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is it's almost like y'all just hack this completely. You just go straight to the emotion, straight to the future identity, and then everything is going to pull itself forward and fall in line.
Yeah, absolutely. That's not to say I don't take notes and write a to-do list. That's not to say I don't have a calendar and I plug in the things that I'm going to do. But it's not necessarily what you would probably consider to be organized. So yeah, that's my personality type, I suppose.
Yeah, I would guess we would call you a Vata, a VATA in Ayurvedic dosha. That's the element with the wind, with the ether. Very creative people, very easily inspired people. So you can get inspired easily, whereas other people are different.
Sure. Yeah, I think I kind of flow in between, right? I mean, we all have all of it inside of us, right?
Yeah.
I guess it's what we express most frequently.
And the Vatas tend to be extremely intuitive.
Yeah, I wouldn't consider myself very intuitive for sure.
Yeah. I would not say I'm that intuitive as other people I've worked with, for sure.
Sure.
All right. Do you do anything for, so we met through my buddy, your buddy named Seth. Seth has a podcast called The Mindful Millennial. I think that's where I first heard you. Well, me and Seth were in this group where it would meet me, him, and this other guy, Mike, and we would sit down once a week and we would talk about one mental goal and one physical goal, and we'd bet each other $100 that we couldn't do it every week. And if we didn't do it, then we had to pay the group $100. And sometimes we did pay. And so we had this system of accountability that we used. We track metrics. Do you do anything for accountability systems, or do you track anything?
I guess the way, I mean, what comes up for me is really two things. In that sense, I feel like I'm a very much a lone wolf, in the sense that I don't need external accountability. But what I do if I'm going to go about incorporating like a new habit, what I find really, really beneficial is, like, I'm just kind of looking at it right now. I have this piece of paper. It has a date. And then it has my two tasks, my two meditative tasks that I want to do. And I sit down and I do my two tasks, and then I date it and I check and I check. And that keeps me accountable, in the sense that I want to be as consistent as I possibly can. Mm-hmm. But I've never really been that type of person who's wanted some external accountability. Like, I get it all the time. We're all different, right? People are like, man, let's work out together. Well, I need that accountability. And I'm like, nah, man, I'm a lone wolf, baby.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because, I mean, you're doing well and whatever you're doing is working. And it's interesting to see, here's one way to walk the path.
Sure. Yeah. No kidding. Right. Yeah. There's so many ways to walk the path. And I think it's important in the beginning to study and to learn from so many different people, these people who are just following different paths, and you experimenting with yourself, what's going to work for you. And then eventually you got to let go of all those mentors and be your own teacher. Right.
Yeah. Is there anything that every day that you consider on a daily basis that's like an absolute must? One thing that you do every day that just you have to do every day? Is there anything like that?
The way that I want to answer that is no. But with that being said, if I go a long time without sitting down and meditating and looking at myself in the mirror and relaxing myself and hypnotizing myself and embodying what I call the 2.0 version of myself, if I go a long time without that, I notice massive changes in my mood and my habits. But I can go a couple of days without it. I'll be straight. But really the most consistent practice is sitting down, breathing, meditating, call it what you want, and just really tapping into the frequency and the energy and the emotional state of my ideal self. So that's really the most consistent thing that I have for myself. And on top of that is I lift weights very frequently as well.
Yeah.
I really enjoy that.
Yeah. You ever go like four days without lifting any weights and notice how you feel?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a while since I've gone 4 days. But yeah, you feel much less energized, much less motivated, because you're just not taking action, right? I mean, we live in a world where so much of it is based on momentum. And when you got that momentum, everything is just easier. Everything flows. Everything just, it's better. Yeah. So yeah, that momentum is key, man.
So when you start to go 2-3 days without meditating or without sitting down and checking in, what do you start to notice that triggers, oh man, I got to sit down and meditate?
I guess the best way for me to answer that is me not showing up with my real power, me using excuses as to why I shouldn't be taking more action. it's a funny way to answer it. But the biggest thing that I notice is just me not taking advantage of the gifts that life is constantly giving me.
Nice. So you've been training, coaching for years now.
Yeah.
The last, let's say, few years, what have you updated or improved, or what are you doing differently now to improve as a coach that you weren't doing, let's say, 3-4 years ago?
Really, the biggest shifts is really all the mindset work we've talked about. That's really come to fruition over the past 2 years. And then I'd say over the past 6 months is me helping my clients be guided by their own intuition. So they're not always doubting themselves. They're not always looking for a coach. My intention is always to teach my clients how to fish rather than do this, do this, do this, do this, do this. It's like, no, you need to be able to learn how to tap into the all pervasive power and knowledge and wisdom within the God within, right?
Yeah.
So that's the biggest thing that I would say has shifted for sure. The mindset, and then teaching people how to listen to their.
And let's say working with these clients, and you start to have these conversations about getting them to tap in more. What have you learned through like working with them? Have you been like, oh, okay, I tried this, that didn't work. Let me try this with this person. And then a client actually shows you, maybe even teaches you something. Does anything come to mind there? Any client?
A client teaching me something, I think really the biggest thing that my clients teach me is when they're ready to shift and to transform their body and really take back control of their health and their mind, the shift is instantaneous. The moment they invest in themselves, the shift is instantaneous. So it's really cool. That's something that people are constantly showing me, my clients, when they're really committed, like their mindset is taken to the next level quickly. When it comes to working with different people, right? Me working with a personality type like you, where the intuition is something that is not necessarily organic for you. It's not something that you're necessarily used to. I'm constantly being taught of how to articulate the message differently to kind of speak to them. And that's the beauty of just communication, man. It's just being open to being a service to whoever I'm speaking to right in front of me. And I realize I need to use different verbiage. I need to give them different action items, etc.
Looking at, you mentioned there's a book, The Three Words.
Three Magic Words.
Three Magic Words. You said a bit about that and how that influenced you. Then there was another book that you had mentioned to me a few months ago. I think it was The Hypnotic Suggestions and Metaphors. Was that
it? Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And then Hypnosis, Medicine of the Mind.
That book is nuts, man. if you want to learn about hypnosis and just the raw power, limitlessness of the human psyche, oh my gosh, that book just blows you away. Wow. By what we are capable of. It's nuts. So yeah, that's a very influential book for sure.
Hypnosis, Medicine of the Mind. Do you remember any stories out of there specifically?
Any stories? I can't really think of any off the top of my head, other than the fact that every single one of them was just jaw dropping.
Nice.
But I can't really think of any off the top of my head.
How about any, if I said all time most influential books, anybody, let's say it could be on Instagram right now, that's just that you're excited about, that you've noticed lately, what comes to mind?
Really, two people come to mind. Joe Dispenza, all of his work, all of his videos, all of his teachings. You're familiar with him, right?
Yeah, he's, it's something about attaching to the future identity and engaging with that emotionally that tends to just drag you forward and sort of a way to hack everything.
Yeah. So it's very similar to my approach. In fact, he actually attended and went to the same hypnotherapy school that I went to and attended. So that's kind of how our philosophies are very similar and why they're very similar. So yeah, his work, and there's another guy who's much less popular. His name is David Lyon. I don't think it's his real name, but if you just Google David Lyon, you'll find his YouTube and his Instagram. And the reason his work has really resonated with me recently is because over the past 6 months, like I was telling you before, kind of the way I've expanded and grown is tapping into my own intuition, being guided by my own intuition. So not relying on other people's teachings. I want to rely on my own teachings, right? And he teaches you, that's funny, he teaches you how to tap into your own intuition, how to channel your higher self. And his work, it just resonates with me so, so powerfully. So yeah, his work comes to mind.
All right. You've got someone who, you know, might be listening to this and saying, they're talking about tapping into intuition and hypnosis and engaging with future identities. It's just, you know, it's almost like we're just a couple levels, a couple layers deep there on all this stuff. If somebody has never meditated before and is, you know, there's, what do people think meditation is if they've never done it before? That I'm supposed to sit still and I can't sit still. My mind can't stay clear. I can't do that. What do you tell these people? What do you suggest these people?
I tell them that this is not the best advice, but this is what's coming up for me right now. I tell them that you can sit still and that the thought that you can't sit still is simply a thought and it's not true. You can't always believe your thoughts. And I encourage them to be patient with themselves and to get consistent with a practice that just feels okay for them, feels right for them, and be patient and allow themselves to kind of just notice those thoughts, right? It's just simply about just noticing your thoughts more. It's not about stopping your mind. It's just being mindful, noticing your thoughts. But the truth is, Matt, I don't work with people who are like, I can't fucking meditate. If that's where you're coming from, then it's like, okay, I love you. I respect you. I honor you, but we're not going to vibe, right? Yeah. We're not going to vibe. I'm not going to be able to serve you in the way that you need to be served because I just don't connect with that mentality. I get it. I understand it. But you, if you're in a place where you're like, I can't meditate, then I'm like, okay, well, this person that I know, I'll recommend you to him. So that's kind of where I'm at.
That's a good point. You're really never going to run into that. And if you do, yeah.
No, I don't for sure. I don't. The only people I attract are the people who are, perhaps they're not meditating right now, but they're certainly open to the idea of getting into the practice. But yeah, recently a new thing that I've just been pondering and trying to figure out is how to kind of speed up the idea of getting into that meditative state and how to give that gift to somebody and how to, because we live in a world where people don't want to sit down and meditate for 20 minutes a day, right?
Yeah.
So something that I've just kind of been sitting on and resting on and meditating on myself is like, how can I give that same peace and tranquility that comes with the daily 20 minute practice of meditation? I haven't come up with an answer yet, but I know it's marinating back there.
Yeah. And then, I mean, I'm sure you've got ways with the hypnosis training, with all your experience, to when you're guiding them. I mean, how do you get them quicker when you're actually sitting with them, guiding them? You know, you don't just say, all right, get still and notice it. You know, how do you kind of cue the first, you know, 3 minutes or something? You know, what do you focus on? Or what do you?
So, that's a great question. For it to be successful to kind of get them into a relaxed meditative state, the most important thing is for them to get very clear with their intention for being with me and spending this time with me. And if their intention is to surrender, to relax, to embody their higher self, it doesn't matter what I say. It doesn't matter what I do. Their intention is going to come to fruition. So I think that's really the best way for me to answer that. It's less about what I say and what I do, mm-hmm. and it's more influenced by what they're bringing. If they want to drop deep, I can say the word drop. And if they're ready and if their intention is very strong,
yeah.
they'll drop. If they have a little bit more resistance to where, yeah, I'm ready to relax, I'm ready to embody this new emotional state, I'm ready to become my 2.0 self. And if they're not 100% committed to it, then yeah, it's going to be a slower process of me just kind of getting them familiar with what it feels like to really let go of that analytical mind. And that just simply incorporates some visual stimulus where I get them focused on a point on the wall, or I get them really focused on their breath. It's just simply about getting somebody really focused on one thing. And that can be their intention. That can be some point on the wall, their breath. I know I'm kind of making this answer confusing now.
No, I so like I'll, it. Let me help put it back into context. When I sit down to meditate, one thing I always focus on is, all right, first get into my breath and start to relax my body. And that's where I've always started. Mm. But I think you've just influenced the rest of my meditations for the rest of my life. I think I'm pretty good with this physiological angle, with the purely kind of physical stuff. So first I relax the body, then I can sink in. But you're saying, Matt, start with your intention and let that be. And to me, that almost feels like a deeper anchor. And that might have more of an impact, more of an, if I can start with that. That's one of the things I'm learning from doing this podcast is asking you guys these questions, and some of these gems are coming out, and that's one. Sure. I think that one's definitely going to stick with me. So
set that intention. I'm excited for you.
And you know, I've been to yoga classes, and they always say, set your intention before you start, but I never, you know, got into why that's so important and how that is more foundational than even getting the body relaxed.
Yeah.
Cause you know, I'm sitting there getting relaxed, but I'm still everywhere. Well, if I can set the intention, it might be easier to get relaxed and get in there.
Yeah.
All right. That's awesome, Drew.
That's cool, man. I love it.
Before we wrap this up, I'm going to share all your info with everybody. Anything else you want to go through? Any questions you want to ask me? Anything else?
No, man. I just want to send you some love and say thank you for taking the time to reach out to me and host this podcast and doing your own personal podcast. I think it's so cool, brother, because so many people, they need that guidance. And people are hungry for the truth. And as you speak the truth, man, I think that is an incredible ripple effect that you create on this earth. So I just want to say thank you, Matt.
Well, thank you for coming on. Thank you for sharing your experience, your perspective on things. There was definitely some gems in here. Y'all can check out David Lyon. He's pretty cool. Joe Dispenza. Mm-hmm. Just don't eat processed sugar. You know, eat some fruit, eat some raw, unfiltered honey. Get clear on your intention when you sit down to meditate. That's step one I'll be thinking about in the future. And Drew, you've got a podcast. Do you want to share your podcast with us?
Yeah, so my podcast is called The Body Life Mastery with Drew DeOrsi, and you can find it on Spotify. That's the only place that I have it uploaded. Or you can watch the video because I record it. You can watch the video by following me on Instagram, and you just type in Drew DeOrsi, and I will be there.
Yeah, and so Drew's got his Instagram handle, Drew DeOrsi. His podcast, guys, they're shorter and they're sweeter. He organizes a couple clean, organized thoughts. It really delivers you some gems. So they won't be as long-winded as this one. They'll just be every day, or, you know, you could probably jam them all up and do them all in one day if you wanted. But he really sits down and gathers some information and drops it, and it's really good. I think you've got a free ebook out there.
Yeah, I got an ebook called The Body Life Mastery Method, and it's really a deep explanation of the pyramid that we talked about in the beginning of this podcast, and me explaining that if you really want to go about transforming your body, we have to go in this very sequential order. And I tell them exactly how to do it. I give them meditations to really enhance their internal world, their mind. I give them a nutrition plan to really take their nutrition to the next level. I give them a workout. I give them supplement recommendations. So it's really an all-encompassing coaching process of the pyramid of transformation.
Awesome. And you also have a Facebook group.
Yes, I'm very excited about the Facebook group. That's something that I just started like a week and a half ago. I've been going live in the Facebook group a couple times a week. And when I go live, I'm just answering any of the questions people are posting in the group. I'll always ask, hey, what do you want to learn today? So it's basically like free coaching.
Awesome. Free coaching in Drew's Facebook group, guys.
Yeah. And to gain access to the Facebook group, again, it's just the Body Life Mastery with Drew D'Orsi.
All right, bro. I think we've been through a lot here.
Mm-hmm.
We got it, man. Well, thanks for coming on. Right. Thanks for sharing your expertise.
Of course, brother. Thank you for your time.
Thanks for listening. Anything interesting in there? Did you take any notes? What's one thing you can do right now to build momentum towards your next goal? Remember, on your deathbed, most people regret the things they didn't do. Thanks for tuning in. And hey, thanks for bringing your dreams to reality. Have a great day.